Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light, and, you know, given the nature of all this new shit, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Four Thumbs Up. My name is Robin Koppel. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm joined each and every week by my best bud, Bobby Bethke. What is up, dude?
Hello, Robin. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and this is a special day for us, a fun day. Every movie review place does it. It's a tradition. It's the best of the previous year edition of this podcast. It's the best of 2017. We've been up all night working hard on our lists. To get you the best content possible. So really, I mean, there's not, you know the drill. There's not a lot of explaining to do. These are what we thought, I guess, are the best movies of 2017, or our favorite movies of 2017. So do you want to just jump into it, Bob?
I want to make that distinction that for me, my list is the movies that I thought were the best, which to me, a decent chunk of that is personal enjoyment, obviously. So
yeah, you know, I kind of felt the same way. Like, I've been reading a lot of lists. Well, we've been like, kind of like reading lists for like years now, and like the instinct to be like, that's not, I don't agree with you, therefore the list is factually incorrect, is like, you know, I took a really hard turn this year to be like, movies that I just straight up enjoyed, like I even know them not to be objectively the best filmmaking movies that I saw this year or whatever, but I had the most fun, or I got the most personal enjoyment out of it, and they were good movies at the same time. You know, that's kind of the perfect mix.
Yeah, I think my list is a combination of the experience going to the movie plus everything else surrounding that, as well as my experience after watching the movie. And so if I was thinking about it for a long, long time, that obviously would bump it up. If it was something that I just kind of saw and appreciated but didn't really have any interest in thinking about again, a little bit lower. I think a good example of that for this year would be a movie that's nowhere near my top 10 was The Square, which is winning a bounty of awards on the European circuit. I think it won the award for best European film, but I just really did not enjoy watching it. I mean, it was a 2-hour and 20-minute Swedish comedy, which I thought probably should have been an hour shorter.
Oh my word.
And I obviously appreciate, I it's one of those movies where you know immediately as soon as you leave the theater like that, I missed something on that one. Because I know why people like it. I just don't like it for those reasons. And because of that, it's not even close to my top 10. So
yeah.
And I saw 11 movies this year.
Well, yeah. So I've, three things to comment on without, but, so there's plenty of movies that I know objectively to be good. And I read the reviews and I agree with the reviews that was a good movie made well or whatever. But a lot of those did not make my list, you know, because, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so those were things that running through my head a lot too. Like, if I didn't think about the movie after I saw it, that was like almost a disqualification. Like, you know, like a criteria is like movies that are running through your head that you quote unquote can't stop thinking about, like that is a huge thing, because a lot of these movies really stick with you in like a powerful way, you know.
Yes.
And if they don't, then, you know, and the other disclaimer I have to put on my list at least is that I got better by the end of the year, but initially I was not seeing a lot of movies this year. Like, I have like a 2 to 3 month gap in my film viewing. And at the end of the year, we don't have press passes. We're not special people. We have not seen The Post, Phantom Thread, any of these Oscar movies that are coming out on Christmas or whatever.
Christmas.
We're a little bit behind. So these lists are not complete. They're not objective. They're just our personal favorites from what we saw, and hopefully we saw enough to make them interesting or whatever.
Yeah, I'll add that, yeah. The three that I will add as my disclaimer are the three that have been under the slowest of rollouts ever. Call Me By Your Name, Phantom Thread, and The Post. I'll be seeing those in the next couple weeks, but as of now, they are not on my list because I have not seen them. I expect that all three of them might be. I expect at least one of them will be. But for now, they don't exist to me. So
yeah, they're not in contention. Yeah, but
no,
I will say Bobby did see a ton of movies this year, so his list is pretty good.
I did. I got to my goal of 52 2017 releases for the year. I have a weird inability to see Netflix movies. I've seen Okja. I have not seen The Meyerowitz Stories or Mudbound yet. I was going to watch those yesterday, but some New Year plans got in the way. So I guess those two might also be.
Yeah. But you made room for Bright by David Ayer.
I did. And goddamn, does that movie suck.
Oh man, I can't wait to
that movie is that. In my bottom 10.
Oh, we should have done that. I can throw it together real quick actually.
Oh, I'll gladly add in my worst movies of the year because I have a solid garbage tier.
It's Bobby broke his down into tiers, and like there is a bottom tier, and it is hilarious to read through. But it's weird, I didn't see that movie that many like really bad movies. We'll get to that, but
I made the interesting decision to keep my rate of going to movies relatively constant throughout the year, which meant there are certain dry spells in the calendar.
So you saw some trash just because you had to see a movie that week.
Yeah, I didn't try to get to one a week. There were a few times where my schedule wouldn't allow it, but I tried to go to a movie as often as I could, and then it really ramped up toward the fall, obviously, when all these cool movies are coming out. But
yeah,
I feel like I've got a pretty complete list as far as exposure to what came out this year, last year.
Right. And me, on the other hand, it's just like random sample of what I was able to see. Yeah, you kind of get two sides of the critics or fan view of the film this year. So that's kind of interesting.
Yes, I am a film critic. I'm very educated about that.
Dude, the second one person pays one penny on our Patreon, I'm going to be a professional film podcaster.
Professional visionary.
And I'm going to apply for press passes immediately.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
What if we pay ourselves? Do we then get all of the first for your consideration screeners?
Yeah, and then we buy our own merch and pocket the profits. It's so simple. I can't believe no one's thought of it yet.
It's just a self Ponzi scheme where we're the only ones losing
and winning. So you know, it's really just a net zero.
Yeah, we just have a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah. Just buy a warehouse of them. Okay.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. We've talked enough. Let's start with our number 10 best or number 10 favorite movie. Bobby, do you want to kick this one off?
Sure. My number 10 was War for the Planet of the Apes, directed by Matt Reeves.
Wow. Yeah. And for context, Bobby has not stopped talking about this movie all year. He loves it. So if it's that low on his list, that's pretty incredible. But keep going.
You want the rest of my list or just talk a little bit about why I liked it?
Just a little bit, yeah, because I actually have not seen Planet of the Apes, unfortunately.
Have you seen... You've seen none of the trilogy?
I've seen none of... I've never seen an ape...
Of the new trilogy.
Movie. I've never seen any of them, yeah. None.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I really loved this movie because I tried to... I think the reason why it might be a little bit lower is because I tried not to give this one credit for the work of the first two in the trilogy and judge it exclusively on this one. But the trilogy as a whole, I think is incredibly impressive at building this character of Caesar, the lead ape, who starts off in, I think it's Dawn. They have a strange order of the first two. I think it's Rise of the Planet of the Apes and then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, he's born, and you see his entire story of his entire life through these three movies. It's essentially a mythic tale that borrows a lot from various mythologies. The War for the Planet of the Apes is heavily biblical. I think that a lot of we talked about this in our Star Wars podcast, but there's a subplot in The Last Jedi that is similar to a subplot in The War of the Planet of the Apes. And I think that War for the Planet of the Apes just did it better. It packs a lot of, it's interesting because it's, you're studying through this character's eyes, the structuring of a civilization, which is, could be really, really boring, I think, if it wasn't about CGI apes doing cool stuff. Right. It had a great performance from Woody Harrelson. There are a lot of kind of subtle things about it. I won't try to spoil it too much for you. But there's a disease that is affecting humans that prevents them from speaking eventually. And then eventually they die from it. And then it's essentially Caesar becomes this biblical Moses figure, for this ape civilization. And it's his story of kind of finishing what he started as far as creating a world for his people. I really, really liked it. While I was sitting in the theater, I thought it was great. The more I've read about it, the more I've liked it. There's some legitimate criticisms about the way they wrap up the climax of the movie, but to me that doesn't ruin the movie. Cause it seems you buy it when you're watching the movie for the most part. So yeah, I really liked it.
Awesome. Yeah. You've been convincing me of it, for months now. I will eventually sit down and watch all three, I guess, but yeah. So my number 10 is in stark contrast is The Disaster Artist by James Franco.
Nice.
Which, you know, I had a kind of a personal thing with this. Like, I was so overwhelmingly excited about it for it to come out. I saw it in the perfect conditions with people all around me laughing and in on the joke type thing. Like, it was a great movie going experience. I know it's not perfect. I've read more reviews since our review that kind of put into context different things that could have been more perfect or whatever, but in terms of a movie experience, really enjoying the subject matter, the acting, Oscar caliber acting, I might add, and all sorts of just a fun time with the movies. I'm definitely locked in with this movie at number 10.
Yeah, that was one of my best movie going experiences too. I saw it opening night, packed theater. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should also add that anything that's not on this list doesn't mean we didn't like it.
Oh gosh, no.
it just means it's not our favorite.
Yeah, I like sat down and like I separated my movies into really good, good, and less than perfect. Like, I did not have a bad category. Like, bad would have been like two movies. And my my good to very good or really enjoyed category is like 80% of the movies I saw this year, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was a great, there's a lot of, you know, stuff you don't put on a top 10 list. Like, we'll get to our honorable mentions later, but
yeah, what you were saying, where my list is broken down into tiers. I think I have 9 tiers and I disliked only 2 of the bottom 2.
Right.
So yeah, it's we don't hate these movies. People we just have 10 favorites.
Yeah. It's funny cuz having grown up on the internet and read the comments on these top 10 lists we've been reading, we know how we're scared of the backlash of, like, you know, you didn't put three billboards on your list, you are not, you know, or whatever.
Okay, that movie is overrated. that movie I will go to bat to shat on.
Yeah, it didn't quite make mine. Like, no spoilers, of course, for our lists. They're very important. To, the drama of revealing these is like half the. No, it's not. But
Well, Three Billboards not in my top 20, I'll say.
Wow, that's aggressive. Yeah. Jeez. Okay. All right, so let's move on. Let's get your number 9.
Cool. Number nine for me came in as The Big Sick.
Nice.
Which
is my number six, actually. So.
Really? Nice. Yes. Yeah, we should, by the end, we should tally how many we had on the same, how many we had on both of our lists.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, do you want to just talk about it right now?
Yeah, you go with your thing and I'll come in, you know.
I really like this. I think it was the most powerful watching the movie. I kind of just got caught up in all the emotions behind the movie. And then it's one of the ones on this list that's probably stuck with me the least after watching it, if the one that has stuck with me the least. But watching it for the first time, the screenplay is so good that you're absorbed the whole time. It's pretty long for a comedy, but you're absorbed the whole time. It's very affecting. And so even though I didn't necessarily have the duration of my relationship with the movie that I did with some of these other ones, I did have a very strong feeling toward it the first time I saw it.
Absolutely, yeah. This was a really... Yeah, moving on. That's our show, guys. Have a good week. No, but like, this was a really interesting and kind of like meaningful one for me, for in terms of this list and in terms of what I valued in 2017. Like, in terms of like classic filmmaking, like what you would expect to be considered prestige or like a great capital F film, you know, it's not like, you know, crazy camera shots or like sweeping, you know, cinematography or whatever, but it's so effective and well done. And I thought it was so brilliantly written. People are also thinking that, people are also saying that some of the performances are Oscar caliber, including Holly Hunter, which I tend to agree. They were all great.
Yeah, I do.
But I,
that's my contribution.
We're having a great talk about these things. But it's funny, cause I've seen, you know, the comedian you like gets a show or a movie type projects. I've seen a lot of them so far, cause this generation of comics has really done well to kind of get mainstream, chances to make their own kind of, a lot of them are autobiographical and, you know, they kind of follow the same trend, but this one just kind of blew past the other ones in terms of how just like perfectly executed it was, how sharp, how emotional, how it's connecting with so many people who'd never heard of Kumail Nanjiani, who've never heard of any of these. Because I came at it from like being a comedy nerd and like knowing that Emily and Kumail have the story, like listen to their podcast for years or whatever. But it's really been a universal, anyone who sees it has this reaction to it.
Maybe the best joke of the year when Kumail talks about 9/11 and says, "Guys,
I might cut that out because I don't want to spoil it." But that literally one of the best jokes of the year. It destroys theaters, dude. Like, it's so good. Oh my gosh! Yeah. So in terms of that, a movie having these reactions for people is like, cannot be understated. So I made what I consider to be a big deal, putting this movie 6 on my top 10, which, you know, this type of movies, it's getting Oscar buzz, but, you know, everyone's kind of putting it where you put it, like 8 or whatever. You know, because, yeah, you did it wrong. But I also made a big deal of putting it above Blade Runner this year, which I thought, like, you know, it kind of in a meaningful kind of move, and I know Bobby is going to have me for that because...
Sick, dude.
But, like, you know, it did not need $250 million and a dude building this massive set and, like, you know...
You know, it's an incredible execution of exactly... It's kind of like in sports, you'll talk about, like, athletes that live up to their potential. I feel like this movie is the best version of this story that you could have made almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to try and keep myself from saying it's not perfect for every single one of these movies, because no movie is perfect or whatever. And it's not, you know, it is, it should have that 100 score on Rotten Tomatoes. I think some jerk ruined it with like made it 98, you know, like, but I thought it was a fantastic movie. I'm so proud of Kumail, and I'm just so glad it happened. So yeah, that's my number 6 and your number 8 this year.
Cool. Well, do you want to give your number 9?
Oh yeah, my number 9. Wait, did you, was that your number 9?
Yeah.
Okay. My number 9 is a, it might be a little inflated because I saw it yesterday and I'm still high off it, but Molly's Game by Aaron Sorkin.
Hey, that's my number 7.
Hey, nice. I thought,
nice.
We haven't talked about it yet. I loved it.
I did too.
Disclaimer, Aaron Sorkin is my favorite writer, unabashedly. I love Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba and all these people. It was exciting and kind of well put together, I'd say. Any glimpse of Sorkin's writing, I'll just do backflips for, you know. Yeah, I really, I'm still trying to articulate a lot of how I feel about it, but I also, the more I think about it, am noticing, you know, Sorkin is a first-time director, kind of its imperfections, but it's another one of those. Like, I know it's not perfect, but I had the most fun at the theater watching it. My audience loved it. They were, like, locked in the whole time. And, yeah, I really had a great... And I'll give Sorkin any preferential treatment he needs for you know? So that is my number 9 this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll start with kind of valid criticisms of it that I had. Yeah. I think it's just so purely plot that there's not as much time for character development.
Yeah, so much narration
between them.
Well.
Yeah, I think a little bit overdone on the narration. So you didn't quite connect with her as much as you thought, but at the same time, this movie is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, that's exactly. 2 hours,
it was a long movie, and I swear I was like, there's 20 minutes left when the credits started rolling.
Oh yeah, totally.
It was just feed Aaron Sorkin dialogue to my veins. I know people think it's contrived, but it's just so snappy. It's not super realistic, but it's just, the point is to enjoy watching it. And this is one of, for a movie that doesn't try to have any pretension for world mind-blowing depth or investigating of controversial subjects, it is just so much fun. It's so well done. Jessica Chastain was fantastic. Idris Elba nailed his big monologue. That was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. And Michael Cera, the MVP.
And Tobey Maguire.
Wait.
This motherfucker. I will never watch Spider-Man the same.
No. I will disclaim, or whatever. It's not confirmed to be him, and it's like an amalgamation.
It is. No, it is.
No.
Well,
for
the most part, it.
Yeah,
that's true.
I know.
For the most part, it's him. But, yeah, I think you have to have a certain predilection towards Sorkin's style. I read a review that poked fun at the I think it was, yeah, it was The Ringer, actually.
Gosh darn it, guys.
I gotta stop reading The Ringer, man.
We both do. We love it.
They're them. Like, they're already, the like bottom 10 of the sources I go to, but, like, I gotta quit, man. Shout out to Grantland. I think Chaos and Collins, he made a pretty valid but funny a joke about how characters in Sorkin's universe always just know these obscure facts that they can turn on at any second to make a snappy quote.
Yeah. But it's so fun.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's
which is
so
awesome.
Fun. Yeah.
So
I don't care at all.
I loved this movie. It was, you had it at 9, right?
Yeah.
And I had it at 7.
Yeah,
just I thought it was just so much. It was so easy to watch. I knew going in that, like, there's no way that you can really have too much crazy, like, philosophical discussions about a true life story about poker games.
But he managed to, honestly.
Well, I think that, yeah, I think the most interesting parts were her firm commitment to her honor above anything else, which you get towards the end. I didn't actually like the kind of 10-minute scene towards the end with Kevin Costner at the ice rink. I thought that was, I thought that was overdone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's just so such a great experience watching the movie that I have no problem with the flaws, because they don't really make the movie worse. They just don't make it better than it is, which to me, I don't really feel like I should penalize it that much when I enjoyed it as much as I did.
Yeah, I'm totally on the same page with that.
Nice.
It's weird. Like, I knew there wasn't going to be so much poker. There are some amazing scenes with just like just straight up poker breakdowns of like things that happen. Those are so fun and like gripping, you know. But I also kind of felt, just because I've been kind of in a mode with Sorkin over his past projects. Excuse me, I'm gonna have to edit. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn the car on for one sec.
You turned it off during that? Okay, whatever.
Oh my god.
You can just leave it on. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I also felt there wasn't as much dialogue as I was, I guess, expecting, because I know a lot of it's narration. And yeah, I mean, usually these movies are 100% dialogue, you know. Yeah. Like, it's funny because he really could have gone further with kind of being a Sorkin nut with, like, you know, how, like, he could reach his heights or whatever, but he was kind of restrained on this one in an interesting way.
Yeah. I would watch 2 hours of Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba just spouting his stuff for in a law office.
Yeah. What I love is, like, every time there's a new movie, we see a new batch of actors getting to read Sorkin dialogue.
I really appreciate that also. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they all kill it every time. Like, you know, it's always a new set in there. It's just,
you know,
like,
what that means? It means that Sorkin's easy and he's not good. All right. Good talk.
But they also, every one of them gives an interview of like, oh, it was so hard. I had to read the script 100 times and then memorize it and then play it while I fell asleep. You know, like, yeah.
So you had to do your job.
Yeah. Okay. So that was my number 9. Let's go to our number 8 on the countdown.
Number 8, kind of similar, honestly, to Molly's Game, in a movie that doesn't purport to be world changing, but is extremely well done, extremely fun. I saw it twice in theaters. Would go back again if it was still in theaters. Logan Lucky at number 8 for me.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not going to reveal how high it is on my countdown, but I adored this movie.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I feel exactly the same way about this as I do with Molly's Game, where it's just two movies that are just so purely enjoyable, especially seeing them in a theater. I think that seeing these both on a TV would have severely dampened my enjoyment of them. And seeing them in a theater with these great actors, I mean, Adam Driver and Daniel Craig are hilarious in this movie.
Yeah.
People say that.
That's my favorite. That's my top 3 favorite jokes of the year. It ruined in the trailer and still great. Are you kidding me? That's
incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really bummed this flopped at the box office.
It did?
That's
a shame.
But yeah, just great story. It really is Ocean's 7-Eleven, which is exactly what I want. Steven Soderbergh is fabulous director.
Oh my gosh.
Knows exactly what he's doing. The camera work was excellent. Some of those cool shots of focusing and refocusing with Daniel Craig were great.
So sick, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't have it higher is because I feel that other movies that I watched were kind of tackled more challenging ideas, basically.
Oh, what an interesting, because I could not care less about that. I'm pretty sure.
I don't make that a qualification. I kind of just give it bonus points if it does, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Like, I would even try to have some hot take of, like, it makes this subject matter feel important or vital or whatever, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing I loved about it was it's just these, whatever salt of the earth means, you know, southern people, just like down to earth, sweet people, you know, or whatever, like being really humanized and being given this fun story and, you know, just letting them have their day, I guess, in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I adored. It was the most fun. I think most fun I've had in a theater. Well, top three or five most fun times in a theater this year. It was just such, like, it's so consistently funny and exciting. And the way it's plotted, you might think you know what's going to happen, but really it kind of keeps you guessing the whole time.
Yeah, the heist was very exciting.
Yeah. And that's hard to do. Like, you know, we've seen enough heist movies, and I'd never realized how kind of by the books they actually are. You know, they follow their beats. Mm-hmm. Until Ant-Man came out and did every single beat exactly. but no, I just I loved it. Great performances. Channing Tatum's a star. Adam Driver is, you know, top of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated Katie Holmes performance.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I loved it. I'm not going to say how high it was because it's pretty high on my list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But and it's funny because this, as we move on to my number eight, this trend that we're developing quickly, I guess it'll be a lot of our kind of lower on the list movies. It's just movies we had the most fun watching, had fun,
yeah,
enjoyed the experience. Like
that's pretty important to me, I think.
Yeah.
Because I can recognize that, yeah, there will be some in our honorable mentions that will cover that people will be like, why, you're stupid, why isn't that in your top four?
yeah.
But
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was going nowhere.
You weren't? Okay. I know that feeling. it's maybe the most important thing, just what the experience of watching it is. And if it can take you over and make you forget you're watching a movie, all that stuff, that's a super big deal. You know, that's like it's doing its job well, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the idea that to be considered art, these movies have to reveal something about humanity. I think that that's more impressive when they can, but you can really fail to do that a lot of times and make terrible movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas something like this one, like even a bad version of Logan Lucky would have been really fun, I think.
And the best version of Logan Lucky actually does, if you get all high and mighty about it, actually does reveal some things about humanity. Like, you know, you feel this, you know, I'll go to bat for Logan Lucky, dude.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll just make you feel great watching it.
So following that trend, my number eight is Baby Driver by Edgar Wright.
Nice.
So, I mean, we kind of forgot about it because it came out in the summer, and the Oscars are going to forget about it because for multiple
years. Yeah.
But it was such a big deal over the summer. Like, all the film nerds were just dying about how much they adored this movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright, you know, in some people's eyes can do no wrong, and I tend to agree with those people. It's so fun. I mean, the editing and music and just the ride of it. I saw it twice in the theater, two, I believe. It's super, super fun time of the movies. All the performances were great. Yeah, and the music is just, that's like a soundtrack I listened to a lot this year, was the Baby Driver soundtrack. You know,
nice.
It kind of even got me like a little bit more like back into like music and finding old music and, you know, having like, I've also thought about it a lot this year in just terms of having music soundtrack your life, you know, which we all do, but it's nice to be like, I don't know, have it depicted like that. And now there's a verb called baby drivering.
Really?
Yeah. In some, you know, when you pick a song to play during your shower, so you know how long your shower lasts, it's baby drivering. Or like, you know, or like when you dance down the street to like the beat of your song, which everyone has done, and if you haven't done it, you should try it out because it's super fun. that is baby driving. I think of Ansel Elgort dancing around all the time when I'm listening to music. So, yeah, baby driver number eight for me.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't have it in my top 10. I really liked it. I think I don't have as deep of a connection to music as you do, mostly because I was like 13 when I listened to something that wasn't the Beatles.
not a bad way to go, by the way.
Yeah, the only reason the reasons I didn't really like it was I felt that nothing really changed that much besides various circumstances surrounding the characters throughout the movie. And then John Hamm having three lives kind of killed it for me towards the end.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you're totally right. Just so enjoyable to watch. Great movie.
Yeah. It is a movie that kind of like slipped off people's top 10 towards the end of the year as more prestige stuff kept flowing out. You know, between this and another great movie that came out this summer that I can't remember, and Get Out, you know, those kind of early prestige.
Yeah.
Like, only one of them was going to survive, and it was going to be Get Out. Basically.
There can be only one.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I have not seen Get Out. I know that's egregious, and I'm so sorry. It's on the list. I'm sure if I had seen it, it would have been on my list. But
it's on HBO, dude.
I know it is. I'm busy, man. But there's also no excuse. But I know it's incredible. But yeah, so that was my number 8. Did you say your number 8?
Yeah, Logan Lucky.
Okay. So,
and then we've got my number 7 with Molly's Game. So I just need your number 7.
All right. So my number 7, Blade Runner 2049. Which it might be a little low for me. I don't know. We'll see. But of course, I thought this was spellbindingly good. Like, just incredible visual experience. Roger Deakins is probably going to get his Oscar finally for being the DP on this film, which is a great set design, pacing, cinematography, acting, directing. It's pretty spectacular. And Bobby is a ultra fan of this movie. I think you've seen it 4 times by now, right?
Or 3. I saw it 4 consecutive weekends when it came out, yeah.
I'm
going to see it 2 more times in January because it's coming to my school theater.
I have never done that with a movie ever, and I love some movies, dude. Like,
the 4th time was definitely overkill, I will say.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've done 3 for a few movies, and that, you know, it depends. But it's weird because I can objectively say that it is so excellent. But there's just a few movies that on my list that just hit a little bit higher in terms of the overall. I don't know. Maybe if I saw it again, it would be higher. Maybe if I saw it, you know. I did see it in IMAX, as big as you can see it and everything.
And it's still 7?
Well, I've had an issue with ordering because it's really hard to order these things because I love them so much. I might be able to be persuaded to move all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we'll circle back around.
Yeah.
We'll circle back around.
But it's weird because I know objectively it's an incredible movie. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. So, like, from this point on, my list is, like, perfect,
basically. Oh, yeah. My list is movies that just adored.
So, yeah, let's do you want to do your spiel now or wait on it?
No, nah, oh yeah, we'll come back later.
Okay, so yeah, stay tuned for Bobby's Blade Runner take, because, man, yeah. Okay,
so. Worst movie.
All right, so did you say you're 7 yet?
Yeah, Molly's Game.
Okay.
And we've got your 6, right, with the big 6?
Absolutely.
Okay, so my number 6 was a movie that almost no one saw, but everybody who saw it loved, Columbus.
Okay, what is Columbus, dude? Bobby has been talking about this movie 4 months, and every time he, like, puts it on his top 10 and just slips it in a list of movies he saw that week or whatever, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. What is Columbus? And no one will tell me what this stupid movie is. And I refuse to Google it. I'm not that committed.
You haven't even Googled it? Oh, my God.
I think one time he was like, oh, it's just a cool indie movie about something. Of course, I don't remember. Because it, like, what is this stupid movie, dude? I know it's not about Christopher Columbus. That's all I know for sure.
But, well, it's directed. It's Koganada's directorial debut. Okay. He's making the typical jump from video essays to features.
Oh, interesting.
So good start there.
Yeah, I mean, it actually is interesting. Keep going.
It takes place in this small city, Columbus, Indiana. which is one of, believe it or not, one of the most white hot architectural hotspots in the world. And it's about John Cho plays a man who's, he is the son of a very famous architect who becomes very ill while he's in Columbus, and he has to visit with his father and be with him while he is passing away. And Haley Lou Richardson plays a woman who is college age but not going to college because of she has to stay at home and help take care of her mother who has had some drug relapses. But her character is a massive architecture fan, and the movie is extremely tender and slow, and it just shows the two of them very slowly coming together to form a very, very strong, very real relationship with each other. Not necessarily romantic, but it just, it has so, it's like I said, it's very slow. It's very, I thought it was very moving. It gives you a lot to sit with when you leave the theater. I didn't see it. I saw it with very few people in my theater. I saw it at kind of a weird time of day. But it's, the cinematography is beautiful. Koganada realized that if you're making a movie about an architectural town, you might as well juice up the architecture of every frame that's in the movie. So nice. Every frame is this beautifully organized picture. And it's a very, I thought well done story about figuring out what you want, and then the difference between knowing what you want and kind of knowing what you need, and knowing if you can even have it. Like it deals with the inability to realize your dreams, essentially, for Haley Richardson's character. And then John Cho's character has to kind of figure out what kind of his deal is. He doesn't really know. He has a little bit of an existential crisis of kind of wondering who he is by the end of the movie. They both turn in great performances. It's a great movie. You should go see it. No one did. It's dope.
Wow, that sounds incredible. And now I know what Columbus is. It's been, I can't explain how it's been literally months of not knowing. But that sounds really cool, especially the thing with the cinematography. Like, that's the kind of thing that will make a movie like cement it in like a top list for me. Like, if it can do that kind of artful thing with the cinematography in a meaningful way, yeah, like, that's like half the battle for me.
To me this movie and Killing of a Sacred Deer were the movies that whose cinematography amplified the story the most and the best. So
right.
Really, really great job.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, well, good to know. It's on the list for me. But so that was your number six?
Yep.
Awesome. All right.
We're ready for top five.
We have entered the top five, ladies
Ooh.
And gentlemen.
Ooh.
Hey, sorry to cut that one off, guys, but the episode we recorded turned out to be extremely long, and we didn't want to bomb you with a two-hour podcast right out the gate. So we're going to cut this one up into two or three episodes. Our picks for 1 through 5 of the year and our honorable mentions will all be covered in the next episodes coming out later this week. I'll just get to some plugs here. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Patreon at @4thumbspod. Continue the conversation, maybe support us if you're so inclined. Our theme song is Light by Son Holo. Our logo was found on Google Images. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and YouTube. Thank you to our lovely podcast host, Spreaker.com, and of course iTunes. Please share that iTunes link if you're going to share it with somebody. Thank you so much to Bobby for being awesome as always. And yeah, I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great day and a happy new year. And we'll talk to you guys real soon. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.